All right, I'd like to call this work session of the Dahl Memorial Clinic Board of Directors to order at 6:19 PM. Steve, could I get a roll call, please?
Simmons.
Here.
Mandeville.
Present.
Malden.
Present.
Nannini.
Present.
Potter.
Here.
Auer.
Present.
Hilton.
Here.
Quorum's established. Howard, Bass are absent.
Thank you, Steve. Entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
I make a motion that we approve the agenda.
Second. Motion by Malden, second by Potter to approve the agenda. Are there any opposed? All right, motion carries. No minutes to approve. I do not have any announcements, reports at this time. And moving to hear citizens' presence. Any citizens like to say anything?
Nothing.
Okay, thank you. All right, no unfinished business, and moving to new business. I'd like to hand it over to Thomas Steiner to go through his notes and lead us off, please.
Thank you, ma'am. On your computers is, I think the second item down is Steiner notes from the clinic conference room board. I'll be speaking from this. It is still up on the board, so if you have any questions after this, please, please, please swing by. I'd be happy to go through this at length with you, and I'll be speaking from this particular slide, if you will. If we look over to the left-hand side, you'll see green writing with numbers on it, and you know, the bell-shaped curve of what is available out there right now in salary compensation. So your bell-shaped curve would go from the, you know, the 90th or the 5th percentile to the 10th percentile to the 25th to the 50th to the 75th to the 90th and 95th percentile. So we're only looking at the 25th to the 75th percentile on base salary. At the 25th percentile, you can see this $105,000. At the midpoint is $215,000, and at the 75th percentile is $372,000. This is what we would call fair market value for a permanent executive director position. As you look down, you'll see it in written format of salary 25th percentile, $105,000, fair market value average of $166,264 to $266,021. And then the 75th percentile, $372,000. If you look immediately to your right, you'll see where it says salary and has these numbers down again. With taxes, benefits, and PERS, this is the expense of $105,000 salary is $183,017.91. Now, if I can take you back to the Dropbox, the very last item is executive director spreadsheet. In Dropbox, I think everything comes through as a PDF. So if you cannot manipulate this, please let me know and I will email this to you tomorrow. And this is of compliments of the finance department behind you. Heather and her team, Leah, did a great job of saying, you know, this is what it looks like. So as you see the top line, interim executive director, contract rate, gross wages for 2023 is $326,200. Add to that the FICA, Medicare, state unemployment, PERS, I'm not in PERS, life insurance, I'm not in life insurance. Payroll expense is just a product. So the grand total of having a $326,200 employee as interim executive director is $351,657.40. Going back to the bell-shaped curve that we talked about, if you hired a permanent executive director at $235,073, it will be the grand total of $351,657.55. This bottom number and the top number, you can manipulate to whatever you wish to put in as gross wages, and it will compute out for you. So please tell Heather and her team they did a great job, and this is available to you. Going back to my notes on the board, you can see where down below the 25th, the fair market value, the 75th, you'll see my averages with the asterisks out to them. This is just on average, and just like a bell-shaped curve, there's some above and there's some below. But on average, expect the time to fill this position at 4 to 9 months. Expect a $20,000 a year retention bonus paid out, and that's 3 and 5, at end of year 3, at end of year 5. And again, this is average. That doesn't mean that this is this place. This is just in that bell-shaped curve. Performance incentive is usually 5 to 20%. Expect a payout of around 10%. The base salary that is out there right now is somewhere between $200,000 to $250,000. There's what's called a contract protection. There are times when someone sitting in the chair that I'm sitting in now has to make decisions that are unpopular, but for the betterment of the government or for the clinic, the decision needs to be made. It may be a horrible political decision, but it's best for the clinic moving forward. And so that's what that contract protection is. Even though you make a bad decision, you're going to get fired, you're going to get slammed, you still get paid out anywhere from 6 to 18 months. Underlined in red, there are 105 FQHCs, federally qualified health centers, in Region 10, which is what we're in. We're Alaska, Washington, Oregon, and Idaho. So there's 105 of us. The average tenure is 2.8 years. And then down below it, I have, Monday through Friday is 5 days a week. There's 52 weeks in a year. So 5 times 52 is 260 work days, less 13 holidays, last 3 weeks of vacation sick. Generally gives you 232 work days in a year. That's just data for you. Off to the right, you'll see in my box over there, year zero, we'll put 10% retention. And then at the end of year one, if someone earned a 10% bonus and they were at the midpoint, then you would expect to pay out $21,500. If you gave them no raise, end of year two, $21,500. At the end of year three, $21,500. If you were to pay a retention bonus, which is $20,000 a year, you can expect in year three to pay out $60,000, $20,000 a year. So an estimate to hire down below it is that question mark of what salary range are you looking at and the benefits. And again, Heather and her team have loaded that up for you, the formulas for you, the out-of-pocket expenses, and we'll get to that in a second. The outside firm, and so you can see in there is the question of whether to hire an executive search firm or not. You will pay for it, whether you pay for it and lost time with the staff doing it or pay for it from an executive search firm doing this legwork for you. So you're going to pay for it one way or the other. It's just a matter of when, what. And I have down there probably one of the more critical questions is who between the staff or an executive search firm is in a better position to evaluate candidates who appear to be similar. So let's pretend that somebody applies for this position and they are a licensed nursing home administrator. You have another candidate who is working at Cleveland Clinic as a director of population health. You would look at that and say, Cleveland Clinic has such a great reputation. Surely that's the better candidate. And indeed, Cleveland Clinic does have a great reputation, but Cleveland Clinic is not reimbursed like we are. A nursing home is. So that would lend you to say, let's take a strong look at a nursing home candidate and say, tell me about this. So who's in the best position to be able to say, what is a FQHC like and what are similar things out there like that that might bring you good candidates? So let's move over towards the middle section of this whiteboard. And at the very top, I have a couple of firms out there, AMN, B.E. Smith, they're one firm now, Health Tech, Witt Kiefer, Nagel & Associates, DHR Global, Kirby Bates. I have been a candidate on Kirby Bates, DHR, Witt Kiefer, B.E. Smith. I have engaged Nagel & Associates. I'm familiar with all of them. And their base rate is usually 40% of salary is what they will charge. So moving down, the three things that any search firm is going to need to know, they're going to have to understand Dahl Clinic, the municipality, Skagway, and the school systems of Skagway. We're recruiting a permanent person here. They're going to have to understand FQHCs and HRSA because that's a completely different beast than acute care hospital or perhaps a rural health care clinic or any number of other designations of health care providers. And they're going to have to understand what is rural, what is isolated, and what is seasonal. So you might get a rural health care clinic candidate from Vail, Colorado. Spot on accurate. I mean, what a great layup because they understand seasonal, they understand rural, and they understand the same payer sources that this clinic has. Whomever you engage, if you engage an executive search firm, is going to have to lay eyes on all of this. So in that respect, if you engage B.E. Smith, a Health Tech, a Witt Kiefer, a Nagel & Associates, DHR Global, Kirby Bates, or any number of others, they're going to have to come here and you're going to have to pay that. You're going to have to pay them to learn. Coors has already done that. Coors has a proposal, and you have it in here as well, of a 33 and a third. And let me back up. I'm not Coors. I have nothing to do with Coors. I don't get money from Coors. I don't get any pro bono from Coors. They don't send me any swag. So please know that this is my evaluation of Coors as having been a candidate with Coors. They're saying we'll do 33 and a third of estimated midpoint to begin with. So already you have paid for them to come out here to do an evaluation. So you won't have to do that again. They already know the municipality. They know Skagway. They know FQHCs. They know HRSA. They understand rural, isolated, seasonal. The 33 and a third of the midpoint going back over to your bell-shaped curve is 215,000. So starting out, recognize that the estimate is $71,595 to engage Coors for you to get a permanent executive director. And that's an estimate. The first payment is due when you sign the contract with Coors, now pretending like you are. In 30 days, the second payment is due. And then the third payment is due when the permanent executive director signs their contract with you. So what you're responsible for, aside from that, is all out-of-pocket expenses to recruit. Now, that's advertising, and the estimate is from $3,900 to $5,100 on-site visits by the candidate or candidates. $5,000, $6,000 relocation expense to bring a permanent director in here of $20,000 to $30,000. And then third-party background investigation. when a contract is signed, there's a true up, or reconciliation, if you will, with your executive recruiter that says, okay, we signed for $372,000. Well, 33 and a third times 372,000 is what is owed, or we signed for $100,000. Okay, then we have to bring back some money from this. So there's a true up at the end of it. And for the privilege of CORS doing this executive search, or Health Tech or Whit Kiefer, they will put a guarantee on there. CORS, most firms will guarantee 24 months. CORS is guaranteeing 36. Go back all the way over to the left, average tenure is 2.8 years. They're giving you 36 months. If at any time during that 36 months, the permanent executive director does not meet the needs for whatever reasons, and a departure is done, CORS will do the search again. Now, it's not for free. You are still responsible for the advertising, on-site visit, relocation, and third-party background. You're not responsible for the 33 and a third of that salary. Going over one column over, if you will, and this is where everyone is right now, is a primary question of Dahl Memorial Clinic oversight. It would behoove you to solve this question first before engaging anyone, because if you brought in a B.E. Smith and got a permanent executive here and decide that the best route for Dahl Clinic is to go with search, search is going to want to bring in their leadership team. And you have now spent advertising, on-site visit, relocation to bring someone in whose job is no longer available to them. So that's the triangle that the board and the assembly should focus on. And from that, whatever the decision is, there's going to be a timeline to fill the executive director position, which is 4 to 9 months. So staying on that upper quadrant, the question is, who is in charge of Dahl Memorial Clinic and how it serves Skagway? Off to the far right are questions that anyone asks and is continually being asked. And I'm sure in the due diligence, these are the questions. You know, who bears the expense of PERS for the current employees? Are all future employees involved in PERS as well? And who bears that expense? Who established the salary rate? So PERS is a 22% of your base salary. That's a flat fee. That's what PERS dictates. This is where you are. So let's say that we give Dahl Memorial Clinic to HCA as a gift. And HCA says, thank you, municipality. You're still responsible for PERS. And Leah is on PERS in our employ. And HCA says to Leah, fair market value for your salary is $1 million. Well, suddenly the taxpayers of Skagway are on the hook for 22% of $1 million into a PERS. And this organization had no say-so as to what Leah's salary is. Who establishes the charges for the patients? Who establishes the sliding scale fee? Who interviews, evaluates, terminates the executive director? Let's say that search is engaged, search comes in, and search hires Thomas Steiner. Thomas Steiner comes here as executive director and is Satan incarnate. Just runs everything into the ground, everybody out of Skagway. Well, who in this community has the authority to say enough is enough? Who approves the policies and procedures? This is being done now. Who approves the budget? This is being done now. Who approves the quality improvement, quality assurance, the policies, procedures, the reporting? Who decides what information is shared? These are questions that I'm sure are going on right now during this due diligence period. Going back over to the red line in the third column, if you will, Once a decision is made of who controls how Dahl serves Skagway, the clock starts running. So you go out to market, and market can be ACHE, it can be Indeed, it can be any number of things for advertising, word of mouth, Rolodexes, if you will, in my terminology. And instantly, whoever's doing the recruiting is going to have somewhere between 125 and 150 applicants. That's average. Some of those are highly qualified. Some of them are highly unqualified. You will winnow that down to about 25 to interview. That's the first interview. From those 25, you may get 10 to 15 that would go to the second interview. And from those, the top 3 to 5 people will be identified. Now, time is of the essence, because going back all the way over to the left, there are 105 FQHCs just in Region 10. The average tenure is 2.8 years. So those candidates who are applying are also applying to other places. And other places are running through these resumes, doing their first interview to see to make a second interview. If they get to the second interview, then you do your due diligence of education, work history, and references. So if you engage an executive search firm, the steps for hiring are they'll do a cultural assessment, the clinic, the board, the municipality, Skagway schools, potential employment for spouses, significant others. They'll do a really deep dive on a job description. The last thing that you want to do is to lie to a candidate and say, oh, this place is all rainbows and unicorns. It's not. No place is. So that job description has to fit the culture that we are right now and the goal for the culture in the future. They'll interview the candidates. The top candidates will be vetted, their education, their work history, their references. The top 3 to 5 candidates, they'll send a dossier to you, and you will look at that dossier and say, wow, I'd like to really talk to this person. Now, trust me. Every one of those 3 to 5 candidates can do the job. They can. Hands down, they can do it. What you're looking for is that cultural fit. Some organizations will come in and say, give me 2 on-site visits. I want to bring the candidate in first, talk with them, and if I like them, then I want the candidate and their family to come in so the family sees this place, because if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy, or daddy ain't happy, nobody's happy. Other places will say, I'm going to take 1 candidate at a time. If it's a yes, I'm pulling the trigger, because we know on average in 2.8 years, the trigger's gonna be pulled again. And we know that out there, 105 other FQHCs, and this person's got their name in those places that are open as well. So there's no right or wrong to it, but that's just the process of it. Once you identify your top candidate, offer acceptance, and you are off and running. Going back to the estimate to hire, salary, again, you plug that number in and you'll see the expense, out-of-pocket expenses. You can plug these numbers in the middle. And then do you engage a search firm to do it and it costs you XYZ dollars, or do you engage the staff to do it and it costs you XYZ opportunity of not running a clinic and the staff time to do this? And who is in the better position to identify like candidates on paper will do well in this organization? All the way over in the lower quadrant is Thomas. This is what you have. You have my contract in there. So I have a salary of $326,200 for the 2023 budget. Federal taxes are taken out for me. So the total cost of Thomas is $351,657.40 for 2023. Coors has a fee of 28% of Thomas's salary. This is between the municipality and Coors. This has nothing to do with Thomas. So if you did 28% of $326,200, there's a price tag of $91,336. going back over to the far left again on that bell-shaped curve, your interim director right now, where I employed receiving PERS, would be a salary of $235,073, which is just slightly above the midpoint. As you look down, the interim agreement that I have signed with the municipality includes reasonable expenses for travel. Beginning travel day is paid, the end travel day is paid, housing and utilities, a vehicle has been offered, and holidays, and one vacation day per month. There's 12 months, 12 vacation days. The Coors, what I was brought on with was a Coors, which is paid travel days. I am in Auburn, Alabama. That is 18 hours the first day, 8 hours the second day travel, 2 days. So I'm 4 days travel. Time to travel home every 3 weeks. Now, B.E. Smith is every 2 weeks. We are not close to anything. That's no shock. So going once a month is totally appropriate. Reasonable expenses for travel, vehicle, housing, and utilities, meals and incidentals, which is the government GSA rate, which is in Alaska. GSA is for the 48. The Department of Defense is for Alaska, Hawaii. Their meals and incidentals is $118 a day, one vacation day per month, and paid holidays. So I'm not saying I was misled. I was not. I signed this contract with the municipality. This is what Coors's contract with an interim is. This is my contract with the municipality. And I will entertain any questions whatsoever. This is up on the board. And it's a whole lot easier to see on the board than on the screen. And again, if your spreadsheet, Excel spreadsheet doesn't work, doesn't manipulate, I promise I'll get it to you tonight. And that's it, ma'am. Or entertain any questions. And does it make sense?
Thank you, Thomas. Yeah, any questions, feel free to shout them out.
This is Rita. So the 28% that's paid to Coors, the $91,000, that includes the things that are listed below. Is that correct? The paid travel days and whatnot, or are those additional costs?
No, ma'am. Thank you for the question. The $91,336 was for finding Thomas. That's all that one is. The interim agreement, the expense for travel, this is the municipality reimburses me. The beginning day of travel is paid, the end day of travel is paid, the housing is paid, the utilities is paid, the vacation day is paid. All of that is through the municipality.
And what's the total of that?
I would love to be able to give you a quick answer. I don't know the travel is dependent on season. I can't give you that, but I can get you that information of the September, October, and November time that I have traveled. I will be delighted to send that to you.
And we sign off on the check run, but I just can't. I know there are an additional cost, and I was just curious if it was put all together since everything else is put up together. I could look it up, though. Thank you.
I'm happy to send it to the rest of your colleagues as well. That might be information they'd like to know.
So step one, who is in charge of Dahl Memorial Clinic to figure that out first? Where are we standing at with due diligence? Is that under your umbrella at all, or is that a strictly something that Brad's taking care of?
That's not under my umbrella, no, ma'am. That is, Brad has engaged Shelley O'Boyle, mm-hmm. and I think she's leading that up.
Deb, did you have, go ahead.
I guess I have a, this is obviously a really well thought out diagram. I guess my question just for you, Tom, is when you were hired on, was there ever any talk about you participating in a search for the next executive director? I get like you came in crisis mode. But was that ever discussed about at all?
No, ma'am. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to help in any way I can.
Are we just asking questions for Thomas, or are we just having a round table all around?
I think we can, yeah, all the go questions. For it.
Yep. So I guess just going back to us as a clinic board, just to check in again, what is the status? When is the last time we actually interviewed a potential candidate? Do we have currently this position posted? And if we do, what sites are those posted on? I've brought this up at meetings before. Thomas puts it right in front of our face. We have to offer more money. We are going to get exactly who we've gotten in the past at the current salary that we're offering. Nobody who is remotely qualified to do a job like this is going to agree to move to Skagway. For that, I just did a basic Google search. And there was a clinic that popped up in Anchorage, and their median salary is $198,000 a year. So I need to implore this board to bring it to the assembly. We have to start by offering a realistic wage. So I guess, yeah, those are my questions. I guess, why haven't we hit up the assembly to increase the asking wage? And where are we currently advertising for this position?
Okay, so where are we currently advertising? It's on the city website. It's also on Indeed, but we are advertising at our wage window of 90 to 140,000. We are still getting some people applying. I'm monitoring that and shooting kind of the higher tier candidates to Jeremy for review as well. If it passes both of us, then we would initiate the rest of the hiring committee, which is Brad and Sam Bass, our liaison. So I guess that's the question, or answering your question about where we're advertising. Seems like there was another part to that.
I'm just wondering, why has anybody on the board like really actively promoted, like, no, the salary is not reasonable, can we get this increased?
Well, I think that's maybe one of the reasons to have this discussion now. We've got Thomas interim right now, but what's the next step? So I agree with you, Deb, as far as raising the wage. And I think we can have a good step on that right now with our budget, because it is, it sounds like we put in the $326,000 is Thomas's current salary. So I think that is a good starting place. So
if I may, Deb, thank you very much. You asked a great question, and I skipped over it, and I apologize. Right next to the bell-shaped curve is in blue, a vector, if you will. that goes 25th to 75th, and that salary midpoint is at that vector. So, and money's not everything. When somebody chooses a job, it is location, compensation, and career trajectory. So it's a three-legged stool. So the lower you are going towards the 25th percentile, the higher the risk is somebody will recruit you away. There's 105 other people that at 2.8 years, they're hungry. They're looking for somebody. So if somebody just it needs to get a job, they can come here and get something while they're looking for something else. That gets you on a cycle that you probably don't want to be. Now, the higher the compensation, if you will, the less likely they're going to be recruited out. This is something that the salary committee should be able to say, this is where we want to be in this range, if you will, to keep the good people interested and to reward them for being here. And that was the retention bonus, to reward people for being here. Now, the downside is you have to give an honest evaluation. You don't want to hold on to somebody for 3 years, have them cash a $60,000 check and walk away. If they're not good, you're going to know it in 30 days. You need to have that honest conversation with them early, so you're not kicking the can down the road and costing an organization a retention bonus. So you ask a great question. And those were my not flippant answers, but that's what the data says.
Yeah, I think I'm totally agreeing with you. And it seems like I think this data that you presented to us kind of reminds me, like when you get a really good quality city manager, they're typical. It's not realistic to expect a city manager to live their whole career in one place. It's an intense job. So I think we can kind of reframe this position, thinking about we don't need to find someone who's going to be here for the rest of their life. But when you mentioned salary committee, I think that is just us, right? So I'm just really trying to implore us to go to the assembly sooner than later with, we need to offer a higher wage.
Well, so then the next question is, if we offer that higher wage, what are we going to tell them as far as what the future of the clinic holds? So it goes back to this question of who is going to run the clinic. Is it going to be our community, or is it going to be search? We don't know. Can we guarantee them a three-year time to work? I don't think we can at this point. Or can we guarantee them a year or a two? So I think, I think we could, and I think we should raise our offering salary on this position. But then that begs the next question. Yeah, Jay, you had a question earlier.
Thank you. You pretty much worked around to what I was wondering about. I did have one question though. The I guess finder's fee for the find an interim director. Say the 91,000. Now, is that every year we're paying, or every paycheck you get, they get 20 something percent of what? I know it's on top of, it has nothing to do with the contract and making you, but they continually get that for as long as you work here, or is that just a one-time finder's fee 1 year's worth of 22% kind of thing? Or am I confusing that around to
what no, sir, don't understand? Their contract's in here as well. And you know, that's sort of an A to B, and I'm not A and I'm not B. I think that both Coors and the municipality can have that conversation to say, hey, look, you know, your finder's fee on Thomas was, you know, this is my ego speaking, well spent. But is this going to be forever? You know, is there a point in time where it trails off? I don't know. Because my contract was a 90-day contract. And it ended November 23rd. Then it got kicked 30 more days. It ends December 23rd. And depending on what the assembly says Thursday, I leave December 23rd or I leave March 31st. Whatever the pleasure of the assembly. I don't know.
Okay.
But I think that's the conversation that the municipality and search, Coors can have is this an ongoing forever and ever? I don't know.
Okay. And yeah, the other part of it was, I really don't think anybody, I think everybody up on the assembly understands that the price of a interim director. Okay. I'm going to go off on a tangent because I just had to think about what makes you guys make so dang much money? What is the secret that you know about doing to where you're making a couple hundred grand a year? I mean, other than being personable and, you know, organizational, I don't know what we're really paying for.
It is a highly, and I don't want to be flippant, it is a highly complex reimbursement system that is, there is no intent. When you make a mistake, it is your direct liability, strict liability. So we're in a highly regulated with strict liability. It's tough as nails to do well, and it's easy to mess up quickly. So, you know, knowing what to do is important. Knowing what not to do is equally valuable. I'm a master's degree prepared healthcare administrator from University of Alabama at Birmingham. And I'm proud of that institution as the number one school in the nation. So that's why.
Okay. But then I guess I'm wondering if we are going to pay somebody $200,000 a year to come and be the director here. It doesn't seem like this is really a tough job. I don't see why there would be a big turnover rate, unless just some other little place is going to offer more money that, you know, if you could get another $50,000 a year, I could see that. But it just seems like this would be, I mean, if you fit in, you're going to fit in for life kind of thing. It seems
like it's a great place. There's no doubt it's a great place. The challenge is human beings being human beings. I mean, we're kind of squirrely. And when you're in a smaller environment, our foibles are exacerbated. So it's easy to run a Cleveland clinic. It's hard as heck to run Dahl Clinic. And it's not out of malice. It's just there's so few people, and we have to rely on one another, that when that relying misses mark, it is felt pronouncedly. We had, I don't know if you read, but we had a provider back out at the last minute. So how does that impact us? So for the month of December, we've only had two providers on call, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Well, if you're a provider, Dev, and I'm a provider, when you're on call, you can't take any patients because you don't know what's coming to the door. You can't schedule any patients. You take whatever's coming through the door. So if you have your patient panel, like Johanna has, she has to go to her patient panel and say every other day, I can't schedule you. I have to take what's coming through the door. I don't know what's going to happen. And that has a huge impact on this community of saying, oh, I'm used to having this provider at this set in time. Well, somebody backed out it truly at the last moment. And it's not only put the burden on the providers, it's put the burden on this community of I'm not having the access I'm used to having.
Okay. Yeah. So then just sitting there and listening to that and listening to everything else. it does seem like the biggest question is, will this provider that we offer a job have a job to do it? So I guess like the real decision is that we have to put out is whether or not we're going to actively change the clinic. So it's like a yes, no kind of thing. And then we can work on all of this, because as it's been said many times, that nobody wants to take a job that they don't know they'll have the next day. So
I think that's a fair assessment. I think it's fair to the next permanent executive director to put a bid out there to say, hey, please come to a place. No place is perfect. Every place has their issues. That's not going to scare anybody off, but come to a place that doesn't know what's going to happen in the next few months is a bit of a challenge. And the candidate you may get may not be the candidate you want.
Okay. I'm done bothering everybody and taking up time.
Well, and that's part of my frustration too with this whole thing is I feel part of me feels like we're sitting here and we're just the proverbial hamster in the wheel, just running around in circles and circles and circles, because we can't make any kind of decision. We can't step forward because over here you have the assembly who's holding search over our heads. And until they make a decision as to whether or not they're going to continue with search, how are we expected as a board to succeed in pulling the clinic out of the mess that it's in? Granted, Thomas has done an amazing job, and I truly value you being here and appreciate it. But how, as a board, are we expected to succeed in moving this clinic in the right direction when you have this piece over here that is being undecided? And like Lisa has said and knows when talking to these candidates, nobody wants to move their family here for 3 months or maybe even a year potentially, because what's going to happen in a year if this proceeds with search and now they're out of a job?
That's actually a valid point that has been brought up, which leads me, as I'm relatively new to this board, before any kind of conversation about bringing search, remote possibility of search coming in here, correct me if I'm wrong, when was the last time the clinic board was successful at bringing in an effective executive director of the clinic? Because I feel like that we have struggled with a good executive director long before we've been talking about search has even been mentioned. But I'm open to being wrong on that. What I would like to see once again, because I've really been thinking about this the last couple of days, I think it's kind of easy to use this very remote possibility, especially if this due diligence continues to not move forward. And I think there's frustration on a lot of people's parts on this is something that was supposed to happen on the part of the clinic, and why isn't this happening? So I'm not saying that search is not a factor, but we haven't had an effective executive director for a long time, and we've had worse than that. When you offer, as Thomas's data, and we're talking about right now, a subpar salary, I think we need to focus on that instead of like, ooh, search may or may not be coming in. And if they were to come in, all the talk has been that it's not a quick process. It would be quite a bit down the road. So with an offer of a reasonable salary and a guaranteed contract time. I don't know what that would be. I mean, even Thomas is talking about, in the best case, executive director lasts 2.8 years, and that's not even with, you know, search coming in. I think we have to start by offering a competitive salary and, I don't know, you know, a certain amount of time for the contract. I don't know if that's 2 years. You can't tell me that we get locums. We're paying locums an incredible amount of money because they want to come up to Skagway for a temporary amount of time. So you cannot tell me that if we offer a reasonable rate, people love Skagway, right, Thomas? Mm-hmm. You can't tell me that someone doesn't want to come in and be an executive director and an effective one for, be it 2 years, I don't know.
There's a large difference between a locum provider and an executive director. Asking someone who has made a career out of moving around and working for X amount of time, contracts and places, is different than asking someone to relocate their entire family up here, their children, their wife, their spouse, buy a house, get their kids involved. That's a huge thing to ask somebody when you don't know what lies ahead. And even if you say you don't know what the time is, if search takes over for that to happen, that's still a really big commitment to ask a family to come up here. And ideally, we're looking for someone who's going to be coming up here for longer than 2.8. I mean, that could be the stats of what the turnover is, but wouldn't it be great to have someone who's like, I love Skagway, I want to be here for 10 or 15 years. So while I agree that, yes, we do need to ask for a higher salary, in my mind, all that's going to do is change the caliber of applicants we're going to get that are then going to pull out when they learn about the search on the horizon. You're going to get more people, woohoo, $300,000, get really excited. And to be fair, we need to disclose that to them. And now we just have more people or higher qualified people that are like, yeah, I'm not really ready to take that gamble. I wouldn't take that gamble. This is a big move. And I don't think it's really fair to compare them to locums who have made a career of moving around to experience different areas at 6-month contracts. That's different. An executive director, hopefully, is not making a career of relocating and relocating his family every 6 months or every 2.8 years. That might be happening, but that's happening because people are building their careers. We want to get someone who's going to stay here a while. This is a big move. This is not going from like Cleveland to Cincinnati. I would be looking for someone who wants to be here longer than 2.8 years. But interviewing someone, even if you're offering them a higher salary, I don't think it's fair to not to be upfront about the search situation. And unfortunately, that's where we're losing people. It's not that we aren't getting applicants and we haven't had interest in it. The interest drops when they hear about that. And I absolutely think that that should be priority in resolving before we move forward, trying to find someone to fill this position for 2.8 years.
Katie, or
I'm going to stop right there. That's making a lot of assumptions. There are single people out there. There are retired people out there. There are gay couples out there without children. You don't know who's going to apply until we put it out there. And we have done nothing for years. I was on the original hiring committee and it took over 6 months to even get that going. And it was ridiculous. So we're also not putting effort. And that is part of the problem as well. It's not just the search thing. There's not a lot of effort because this is a volunteer board and we don't have the time and we don't have the experience to put it in there. And it's super frustrating.
Yeah, I challenged the 6 months getting it up and going. I don't think that's accurate. It did take a little bit to get it going. We had a lapse. The city hall was in charge of the Indeed, didn't get some applicants to the hiring committee in time. I think Coors is a very good way to go. They know us. They're going to cost money, but I think they're going to get quality applicant here. I don't know. I mean, I think it'd be a good discussion point with them to ask and see if they are willing to do this work if the search question is still here. We can see by raising that salary, see what applicants we get. I mean, is that what I'm hearing right now to raise that?
Yeah, I don't understand why there would be a hesitation to
do. I have a question because I generally don't know. Do we need the assembly approval to raise the wage that or the salary for the executive director? Because in the budget process already, that wage is in there. So I'm just trying to work through the proper process here.
It would require assembly approval, yes.
Jeremy, could you weigh in? And I know at the beginning we had discussed with Brad, he had, that's how we came to the current wage window, 90 to 140,000. We would have that discussion with the hiring committee. Would we, if we need a budget amendment, we would go to the assembly.
Jeremy, could you hear that?
I could not hear. I can only hear about 5% of what everybody's saying. So if that was a question for me, you will need to restate that. I can hear you just fine.
Yeah, Jeremy, the question was, do we need assembly approval to move, to change, raise the current advertised wage for the executive director?
I think the assembly approval comes in the approval of the budget. If we have the money to pay the salary within the budget that's been approved by the assembly, we don't need a separate approval to increase it.
That's what I recall last time we did it. We had the high wage, so then we raised it because it was already in the budget. Even though this will be a significant raise we're talking about, but still, it's budgeted for over 300,000 currently.
Okay. Let's see, this is a work session. I want to make sure we don't.
We just put it on the agenda for
this next meeting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess we could nail down a recommendation though, as far as what wage window we want to go for, or recommend, I should say. To me, I'm thinking 200 to 215,000 might be the range.
We can't take any action, but I think that's a fair place to start the conversation when we do take it to an official meeting.
I agree. I would hope that we get on this sooner than later. Oh, that 3 months went by really quick, Thomas. I think it's just a reminder of how quick time goes by, and all reports once again is that we do have stabilization at the clinic, because you came in so say in California when everything's on fire, like red flag mode. I would just like to get us to focus on, we need to get, not that we wouldn't love to have you forever, would you do it for $215,000?
That cost you what you're paying now.
See, there you go.
You hadn't saved anything.
It's our job as the board to find an executive director. And once again, that has to start. And I'm just going to say this for a third time. I'm not saying that search is not playing a role, but I'm just going to remind everybody, we have not been able to get a quality executive director even before search was even being mentioned. So I would ask that everybody kind of just keeps that in your head. Search is kind of an easy excuse, but it obviously goes deeper than that.
If I may, I applaud the direction. I do. If you're going to engage an executive search firm, that's going to run its own course, and we'll keep you focused and on task. It is the board in. I understand about the agreements and such, but ultimately it's the board who hires, evaluates, and terminates the executive director. So if we haven't done well as a board in doing that, I think what we've done in the education of the board has been extraordinary. Y'all are, I'm viewing the video of y'all, and y'all are light years ahead of where you were. I applaud you. Pat yourself on the back. You've done a great job as governing board. Trust yourself. You can do this. You evaluate me. You look at me and say, yes, no, this is good. This is not. That's what you're supposed to do. Going forward, if you engage a firm, people start to look at the first of the year. They will hold off of pulling the trigger until after the school year. So now's a great time to go to market. And if you do that, you can expect to bring somebody in on the summertime, which is, oh, how easy a sell is that? So I think you're on the right path. Those are my 2 cents.
Jay, did you have?
I was just, I went and asked the parliamentarian, since we're talking about executive director contracts at our next assembly meeting, if we could also talk about raising the offering thing, which he of course said no, but he did say under mayor and assembly discussion items that we could talk about it and suggest or okay raising it or the assembly could say they didn't have a problem with changing it if that was one of the things you were wondering about.
The assembly couldn't approve it. They could talk about it.
Right.
Okay.
That's, I'm sorry. Yes, that's what he said. I said approved. I didn't. I just said, I meant to say we could talk about it just to let him know.
I would say or recommend that we do up the starting salary. I had put in my notes at least 215, but I think 200 to 215 is a good starting point. I would also recommend that we proceed with Coors to find us an executive director. They know us, they've been here. They know how we operate. They know the relationship that has to be in place between the clinic and the municipality because of the HRSA grant. They know FQHC, they know HRSA. Well, I realize no matter what company we go with, it's gonna cost money. It's gonna cost a lot of money. And I understand that, but we're already 10 steps ahead with Coors because they've been here. They know us. I don't feel that as a board, I don't want to say that we're not qualified, but we're not qualified to find the best person. You know, like Thomas said, to compare the two people, you know, one looks, they both look really good on paper, but one, you know, from the nursing home would be the better choice. Can we honestly say as a group that we would know that difference? Coors is going to be able to come in, look at all the applicants, filter through them, and give us the cream of the crop, so to speak. So those would be my recommendations.
Yeah, going to Jeremy and Katie on the phone, do you guys have any comments or questions to add? And
I don't know. I'm trying to catch up now that I can hear everybody pretty well. I think it's evident that our salary range is not what the market demands, and it tends to raise that. I also think that the executive director is to the clinic board what the borough manager is to the assembly. I think that the clinic board, working in conjunction with the borough manager, I need to remind them that he's involved in the process as well, but we don't know the marketplace. Just as the assembly, when they have to select a borough manager, they don't know the marketplace for borough managers. And I think we, as a small community, benefit from bringing in expertise from outside in order that know the marketplace that can help us find somebody who will be a good fit. I do think that we need to reach outside ourselves to find somebody who knows the broader world and can help bring somebody in as the expertise that we need to hire for this position. And I think that was a mistake that was made in the last round of hiring, because I wasn't involved in that, but from what I've heard, there was only two applicants for that. And instead of going for a further, like spreading out wider, we chose between those two applicants instead of finding the best fit. And I think everything we're dealing with now is a result of that decision. So I think we would put ourselves in the best position to hire somebody who knows the market.
Thank you, Jeremy. As far as, I mean, I feel like we have consensus as far as raising it to 200, 215. But as far as Coors, what's your guys' thoughts on that? Should we bring it to the full board meeting for a vote on whether to go forward with Coors, or thoughts?
We can't go on consensus. We have to take everything to a vote at the next board meeting. So this subject will be on the agenda. And so we can make the decisions that.
Thank you, Jeremy.
All right, any more questions, comments, discussion? Okay, all right. Yep, go ahead.
Sorry, I'm just trying to gather my thoughts. I agree with what Leah says. I think it is best, and Jeremy, to bring an outside firm in to do the hiring. I've thought that from the beginning. I would still like to continue what we're doing, but even more so because I feel like there have to be specific healthcare professional sites that you could post the job hiring position on instead of just Indeed. There are. I know that for a fact, and that needs to happen as well. There's no reason why we can't do both because we need a big net. I do have concerns specifically with Coors, bringing them on to do this task. I see the value in everything that they already have in regards to their knowledge of our community and how our clinic is run and what we need out of it, and even to what life is like here. But they also have a conflict of interest in the timeline. And at this point, I would rather go with a different company.
Can you explain the conflict of interest in timeline, please?
If they drag their feet on the hiring, they're still making money. I mean.
Oh, I see. With Thomas.
With the company itself, not with Thomas specifically. I do not think that you're doing that. You have been nothing but a help to this community. But in general, when you look at those contracts, if they drag their feet, then they're only going to profit from that. And I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel like that's a fiscally responsible thing to do.
So we can have a conversation with them as well to see if they're willing to, well, it's contracted with municipality as far as the cut from Thomas's salary. So the municipality could, or and the board, speak with Coors as to if they're willing to decrease that or even.
I don't know what the answer is. I'm just saying that's my concern.
Okay. Thank you.
If I may, I think, sorry, Reba brings up a good point. As Thomas noted, there are other organizations that do this. Has Lisa, have you or Jeremy contacted any other search agency?
So we had our initial search that was earlier part of this year. There were other websites besides Indeed that executive director job was posted. And 3RNet, the Alaska Primary Health. There's more than just Indeed. We went back to Indeed after we took a little hiatus with.
I was asking about things that do what Coors does. Companies, executive search firms, because it's a good question, because the way I've read the contract, and once again, like, thank you for being here, like, you've really dug us out of a big hole, but there is a chance, and I'm not 100% on this, but there is a chance that Coors does kind of make more money the longer it takes. So maybe just something to think about.
It's going to cost more with other search companies. They have to come in and get to know us as well. I don't know of any other search companies that have, you know, been here, and it needs to be a recent visit, you know, get the pulse. So there's that cost away and compared to.
They would also have a current executive director that could fill them in on what, you know, the needs.
Absolutely. I would step back for a second. So that decision tree, if you will, if you're going to use an executive search firm, don't spend your money putting the position out there, because the executive search firm's going to do that. There are plenty of primary sites, but again, are we going to be able to discern between like candidates? And I've got 11 people when I should have probably 20. So we don't have the bandwidth to do this, a search, or do it justice for a search. I think the question that you ask is a fabulous question. And I would ask Cheryl Coors or Steve Hartz, you know, tell me the reason why this is not a financial incentive for you not to drag this out. You know, I think that's a perfectly valid question. But if you're going to do a search firm, it doesn't matter which one, they're going to direct it and they'll come to you and say, this is what we discovered is fair market value. This is where we think the midpoint is. And it's going to be somewhere in that neighborhood that we've talked about. So, you know, I don't want you to waste brain cells trying to figure something out that you're going to engage somebody to figure out for you.
But at the same time, we've spent a lot of money on you and look at how much you've figured out already. This is a huge help to us. I don't know.
We're doing great work, and that's not going to change. We're going to continue to do you great work, and we'll do it until they escort me out and escort in a great person to continue on that great work.
Well, then back to like the beginning of the triangle, and like you said, step one, figuring out who will eventually manage the clinic. How can you help us get due diligence done? Because that's what needs to happen so we can even figure out as a community if search would come in or not.
Thank you, ma'am. Brad asked the question. Here's a 38-page document that was handed to us August 2 years ago. And this is the due diligence document. That's fine. Let me look at it. I read through the document and realized that I know nothing of where the documents are. So I sent a note back to Brad and said, hey, here are my recommendations. If you need this quickly, then let's engage those who have the most institutional knowledge. And that's Kara, Shelley, Esty, Val, Johanna. Pull them away from the clinic. Backfill Johanna, backfill Val, try to backfill Esty, lock them in a room like the Vatican, and until the white smoke comes up, don't let them out. I think based on these 38 pages that, you know, this was back in September, I would think maybe 2-3 months to get it done. The second option would be engage Shelley and engage Kara, and pull them out and allow them to do this work. And I think that would take them about 6 months. Or if you want us to do it, it's going to take about a year when, you know, on weekends and after hour works to gather all that. I don't know what your timeline is. And that was the end of our conversation. I came to the assembly meeting and Brad was, you know, he and I were walking up the steps and said, hey, just let you know, we've engaged Shelley. Okay. That's fine. We can put her in the conference room. He says, no, we'll put her in the behavioral health. I said, that's great. Love to have her. Those were my three recommendations or some, you know, spectrum of that. And this is direction he chose.
All right. I know there's another meeting that's supposed to happen. So any more questions, comments? Okay. So we will move this to our full board meeting and go from there. I think we've hit our comments and questions number 9 on the agenda pretty well. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion, we adjourn.
Second. Motion by Malden, second by Potter to adjourn. Any discussion? Any opposed? All right, meeting is adjourned at 7:40. Thank you.
I'm hearing the whole time. I don't know that I'd have anything to contribute to the finance committee under the circumstances. Could you ask them if they need me to be on hand, or can I bag out?
Leah's shaking her head that if you want to bag out, then you're all right to do that.
Okay. Sorry.
No problem.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Good night.